I'm your host, Sarah Sully, and this is my co-host, Armando.
Hi, guys. I'm Armando, and welcome to Wrestling with Siblings.
All right, let's get started with Monday Night Raw. Randy Orton kicks off the show. He has been for the last couple of weeks. And again, he comes out, and he says he needs to apologize. And not only that, but he says his emotions have really been unbalanced over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and we have yet to figure out why he did what he did. He kind of says it as he's saying why he did it and why when he apologizes to us.
Yeah, well, he says that 15 years ago he was Intercontinental Champion and he got punched in the face by somebody he saw as his brother, and he knows him by Adam, we know him by Edge, and I think that may have been what triggered it. He did say he loved him like a brother, and he didn't really get to finish because Kevin Owens comes out and he's just like, well, you know what? I also want to know why you did what you did. I was actually a kid when I saw Edge retire, and now when he came back at the Rumble, I kind of had that hope that him and I could potentially get inside the ring. So that's what KO says, and he's like, well, you know what? I want to fight you right here, right now.
Yes, but you also got to think, Kevin Owens, do you really want to pick a fight with Randy Orton after what he has done with Matt Hardy and Edge? I mean, come on, it's not a smart idea, but I see where you're coming from as well.
Yeah. I personally think Kevin Owens isn't scared. I think he does want to pick a fight simply because he wants to prove his point to Randy Orton. And aside from that, he wants to be the hero right now. We see that with his feud with Seth Rollins, and now I guess we're going to see it with Randy Orton. But I do feel like he's going to pay for it very, very badly.
And not only that, but he also wants to defend his idol, one of his favorite wrestlers that he grew up watching. And what better way to do it than stand up against Randy Orton and to do it right now?
100%. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. Randy Orton accepts this challenge, though, and he's like, fine, you wanna fight? We'll do it tonight, just not right now. So I guess it'll be under Randy Orton's terms later on tonight.
And again, Randy Orton playing the mind games with Kevin Owens, so we'll see what happens later on tonight in their match.
Keep in mind, Kevin Owens is one of those guys you can't really read his mind. You can't really get inside of his head, and he is also super unpredictable, and I think that's something that Orton has to be super, super careful with, but we'll get more into that when this match begins. Okay, let's get started with the very first match of the night, which was Angel Garza with, obviously, Zelina Vega versus Humberto Carrillo.
Right from the get-go, show stealer. Humberto Carrillo just showing why he is one of the top athletes in the Raw roster. Same thing with Angel Garza.
Yes, Angel Garza has been in the main roster for, what, maybe 3 weeks now, and he's already proven he is one of the best. He's definitely going to give Rey Mysterio a run for his money. But I feel like as of right now, Humberto and Angel Garza are so evenly matched. We saw that at the beginning of this match. They kind of both have the similar style, and they are from the same family, and they also come from the Lucha background, so that makes a lot of sense. But in this occasion, they were going to have to pull out all the stops to be able to take each other down. They know each other well, keep in mind.
Sorry, even during the match, you get to see that Humberto Carrillo says, I know you too well. I know what you're going to do. So what does that make you do as a superstar? It makes you bring out new moves that your opponent hasn't figured out, in this case, his family member, Humberto.
But also keep in mind that Garza has Zelina Vega by his side. That right there is his biggest advantage because Zelina Vega is unpredictable. You never know what she's going to do, how she's going to strike, or in which way she's going to interfere in this match. And I feel like Humberto was prepared for that, but not really because, like I said, you don't know when Zelina's going to attack.
Yes, I have to agree with you on that one. And I also want to see how they're going to play it out when Andrade comes back. If she's still going to be with Andrade or there's going to be a tag team. So let's see how it all plays out at the end of the day.
100%.
And also, falling back on Angel Garza, he has all the potential as well to be one of the top stars. I think this year, 2020, could be a great year for him.
100%. And I think partnering him with someone like Zelina Vega is really going to do wonders to his career. I personally don't feel like he needs Zelina with him simply because his English is perfect. I feel like he can carry himself. He doesn't really need a manager, But I see why they did it. Having Selena there is going to take his career to a whole new level, and she's going to bring that fire from him that we haven't seen down in NXT.
I definitely agree with you on that one. I think Selena's the plus that he needs right now, but like you said, she really doesn't need it because he could do prove it in the ring and in the mic skills as well. So, but like I said, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, she'll definitely ease him into the main roster, and I think that transition would be a lot easier. Alright, let's move on to Ricochet versus Luke Gallows. Very interesting match. Obviously, the advantage here was Luke Gallows, the power. You know, he can pretty much manhandle Ricochet if he really wanted to. And on the other hand, Ricochet, with the speed and the techniques that he had, he was able to take down Luke Gallows.
But also, Luke Gallows could also match the speed that Ricochet tested possessed. And also, keep in mind, Ricochet was actually in a one-on-one match because the OC wasn't in the ring. So that was a huge advantage for Ricochet because he had time to focus just on Luke Gallows.
And every time I see Ricochet, he doesn't fail to impress me. You know, he definitely is one of the best on the roster. He's going to have to pull out all the stops to take down Brock Lesnar, though. I really do feel like he has a chance. I feel like because he's smaller, the speed, and his wrestling styles, we do know that Brock Lesnar struggles with guys like Ricochet. And that's his biggest advantage. And if Ricochet capitalizes on that, there might be a miracle on Thursday.
Yeah, you pretty much stole the words right out of my mouth. I was going to say, like you said, that Brock Lesnar does struggle with smaller guys. Why? Because of the quickness. But once Brock Lesnar gets a hold of you and starts going suplex after suplex after suplex, it's pretty much all over for you. And not only that, but Brock Lesnar is also smart up here in the head. He knows in the perfect moment when to capitalize. And a perfect example of that was when he faced Finn Balor a couple years ago. And when Finn Balor was going to do the coup de grace, what does Brock Lesnar do? He puts him in a submission move just like that. So Ricochet, that's something that he's got to watch out for.
And that is one of the quickness that Brock Lesnar also has. He's mastered being inside of the ring. He's mastered every single one of his moves, and he can do them right off the bat, and you will never know. You will never see him coming. It's kind of like a Randy Orton type of thing where you won't see it coming, and he's mastered that super, super well.
And I feel that that's where Brock Lesnar's MMA background comes a lot into play with those submissions, how he's able to put them quickly.
I agree with that. And Luke Gallows, and you can't underestimate that guy. He brought the best he could, and I think him being with AJ Styles really is mentoring. He is part of pretty much one half of the best tag team in the world, and you can't take that away from him. And in this match, he showed everything he's capable of, and he just keeps doing that every single time you give him the opportunity to go out and perform. Unfortunately, though, he came out short, and that's something AJ Styles wasn't happy about. They happen to find Aleister Black in the back, and they attack him. So, interesting to see where this is going to lead.
Yeah, I think Aleister was just at the wrong place at the wrong time. He just happened to walk by, and the OC being mad, they wanted to make a statement. And what better way to do it than Aleister, just because of the win he had last week against Eric Rowan.
100%. All right, let's move on to Brock Lesnar with, obviously, Paul Heyman. I'll keep this one very, very short. They come out, and they say that at some point, if Ricochet can pull off a miracle on Thursday, this will change the entire complexion of WrestleMania. And he is not wrong. If, for whatever reason, Ricochet can find some way to beat Brock Lesnar, we are getting a completely different main event at WrestleMania. It would instead be Ricochet versus Drew McIntyre.
Is that possible? I do believe that Ricochet has the skill set to beat Brock Lesnar, but again, is it impossible? No, we've seen guys like Seth Rollins do it, so it's not impossible. He could do it. All he's got to do is believe up here, and I believe that Ricochet could do it.
Yes, but you also have to keep in mind who Brock Lesnar is as a competitor, and it's going to be very, very hard to take him down. You're going to have to really get inside his head. You're going to have to get inside the head of Paul Heyman. You're going to have to really outsmart Brock Lesnar in order for you to be able to take him down, and I think Brock is going into this match prepared.
So we'll see if Ricochet could pull the miracle of 2020 and defeat Brock Lesnar.
If he does, we were getting a completely different match at WrestleMania, but we'll find out.
Regardless of the winner of the match on Thursday, McIntyre is going to get the main event opportunity for the WWE Championship at WrestleMania regardless.
Now here's my question. If, for whatever reason, Ricochet can defeat Brock Lesnar changing the entire complexion of this match, does Drew McIntyre get to change his pick since he had picked Brock Lesnar, specifically because it was Brock Lesnar?
I don't think he will switch his pick. I think he will still stick with Ricochet because he know Ricochet will give him the match, the quality match that he deserves at WrestleMania.
And he gets a little more into that later on in the night, so we'll get into that in a few minutes. Alright, let's move on to Aleister Black versus Eric Rowan. Right off the bat, Aleister Black goes in with the disadvantage. He's already hurt, he's injured, he's not fully 100%, and that's something that Rowan is going to have to capitalize on. If he can capitalize on that, he will be the first person to pin Aleister Black on the main roster.
And I think Eric Rowan knew that, and I think that was his mistake of not wanting to finish Aleister Black quick. He wanted to keep on punishing him and wanted to make it slow and steady, and I think that ended up costing him the match towards the end because why Aleister was able to recover and was able to get the win.
And I think Rowan chose to go that way because he was like, okay, if I can take someone down like Aleister Black, this is me proving who I am and what I can really do, and this makes him, automatically solidifies him as a dangerous competitor in the roster more than what he already is. He would be taken a lot more seriously than he already is. People are already scared of him. Now imagine him beating somebody like Aleister Black. That guy would be pretty much the most dangerous person in that entire roster.
And you gotta give credit to Aleister Black. I mean, coming out and facing an opponent like Eric Rowan, especially after you being attacked by the LC and being able to defeat it, that shows a lot in you. That shows that you got heart, that you got skill, and that you won't go down easily.
Yeah, you won't go down without a fight, and that's definitely what Aleister Black showed. He is an amazing striker, and I think that was really the ability that was able to help him take down Rowan.
But Aleister was smart because he was waiting longer the match went, the more it benefited him, and the more Eric Rowan was going to get frustrated, so he was able to capitalize.
And I think the turning point of this entire match was when Rowan thought he really had him. Aleister was by the steel steps, and Aleister was able to move, therefore Rowan went right into the steps, and by him doing that, he pretty much knocked over the cage, which we still have no idea what's inside of it, and I really think that was a turning point that really gave Aleister the biggest advantage he had, and he capitalized immediately on it, and Rowan wasn't ready for it.
Yeah, because over and Eric Rowan took his head off Aleister Black, and pretty much that's when he was able to capitalize.
Yes. Alright, let's move on to Drew McIntyre. He basically goes on about winning the 2020 Rumble and how he got to this point. Basically, him leaving years ago to come back and pretty much take over NXT and now winning the Men's Rumble. He pretty much says he doesn't care who he's facing at the Royal Rumble. What he does care about is the fact that he main events WrestleMania and that he walks out of WrestleMania champion.
Yeah, so he's pretty much getting his opportunity that he deserves, and like you said, he really doesn't matter who his opponent is as long as he gets his WWE opportunity.
I think this is long overdue. I think 2020 really is the year of Drew McIntyre. We've seen him improve over the last couple of years, and ever since he was down in NXT, we really knew he was going to be the future, and the future is finally here. In a few weeks, we will finally get to see, hopefully, Drew McIntyre take down Brock Lesnar, which I fully believe he can do.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I strongly believe that he could do, but this is, like we said before, this is a different McIntyre. He's more confident. We could say he's on cloud nine, and he just believes that he could beat anybody that stands in his way.
And so far, he's been able to back that up. So all he has to do is keep it up for a couple more weeks, head into WrestleMania fully focused, fully loaded. Do not let Brock Lesnar get inside your head, and he will definitely be walking out champion.
And again, well-deserved Royal Rumble win for McIntyre.
100%. All right, R-Truth. He pretty much says, welcome to the winter premiere of Truth TV. Very interesting.
Yeah, before that happened, I was like, okay, great. This is brilliant from R-Truth. He's going to challenge the 24/7 championship for an interview. And what is he going to do? He's going to pin him right there on the spot. But no, it didn't turn out that way.
Nope. But who does he bring out? Lana and Bobby Lashley. Now, R-Truth definitely is smart, though. He did want to interview Lashley instead of wrestling him because he's like, you know what? He's a very, very big man, and I'd rather just ask him some questions instead of fighting him. Smart choice. However, Lana wasn't having it, and I think what really set Lana off was the fact that people kept chanting Rusev Day because she's like, Rusev Day is canceled. Really, really upset. And she's like, ring the bell, ring the bell. And R-Truth wasn't even ready, man. Come on. But he did give Lashley a fight, so you have to give it to them.
And not only that, but you kind of noticed that Bobby Lashley actually did want to get interviewed by R-Truth because he tells Lana, like, hey, you know.
Yeah, what are you doing?
I want to interview, but passing that, he did catch R-Truth a little bit off guard, didn't give him the chance to get ready, and he was able to pretty much capitalize.
It was a very, very quick win, but at the end of the day, R-Truth was getting the time, Bobby Lashley was getting the time, and I'm very looking forward to seeing where this goes with Lashley, what's next for him after the entire Rusev thing. I really feel like he's up in the air. I would personally like to see him up against Brock Lesnar at some point. It doesn't have to be a championship match. I feel like that match is so long overdue, and I'd like to see him do that next.
Yeah, and I think that's probably on his bucket list, and one of the reasons why he came back as well to face Brock Lesnar. It's long overdue, so we'll see how that turned out.
All right, Asuka, Ruby Riott, Natty, Sarah Logan, and Liv Morgan are all in the ring for the contract signing for the Elimination Chamber. The winner of this match gets a guaranteed match at WrestleMania to face Becky Lynch for the Raw Women's Championship.
From the get-go, all these women have a high possibility of winning the Elimination Chamber, especially the Riott Squad. Why? Because they've been in the Elimination Chamber before, and for most of these women, it's going to be their first time.
And lately, Ruby and Liv have been having some issues, but you never know. At the end of the day, they are a team. They are family. This could all just be a plan to sidetrack the other woman. You never really know what the game plan is. I can see any one of these women literally winning it. Maybe not Asuka, simply because she's the tag champion. But at the end of the day, anything can happen, and any one of these women can walk out number one contender.
And not only that, but Asuka. Asuka seems to be more confident than ever. She seems to be picking fights with everybody, stands in everybody's face and be like, hey, look, I'm the one that you have to beat with. So we've seen that these past couple of weeks with Becky, and we saw it tonight because she stood up pretty much to everybody.
Speaking of confidence, Liv Morgan is another one who's walking into this match with a lot of confidence. She is definitely ready. She gets up on Ruby Riott's face. She signs her contract. She goes. She slams it on the table, and she sits there and watches her sign the contract, and she's pretty much staring her down. I like this new Liv Morgan. I think she's focused. She's fired up. She knows exactly what her goal is, and she knows how she's going to get there. And I think going in with that mentality makes her one of the most dangerous competitors in this match.
I think out of all these women, I think the one that's really, we haven't paid attention to a lot is Sarah Logan, but she is the one that you really have to pay attention to. Why? Because she is the quiet one, and she's just waiting for the perfect opportunity to capitalize on any of those women in the chamber.
The quiet ones always surprise you. Remember that. The quiet ones always surprise you, and at the end of the day, you saw her kind of getting in between between Ruby Riott and Liv Morgan. I feel like she's kind of stuck, but she knows their weaknesses super, super well. So do not be surprised if she turns things around and she comes out number one contender. But we are missing one competitor, and that is Shayna Baszler, who comes out, signs her contract, then immediately stares down Natalya. This could potentially mean in the future we're going to get a feud between these two, and that's something I'm looking forward to. Queen of Hearts, Queen of Spades.
Imagine how that's all going to play out. I mean, the stare down was epic. I was like, oh my God, they're going to face each other. So we'll see. At the end of the day, they ended up throwing hands with each other. So we'll see how all that plays out.
They did. And the reason why that started was because Becky Lynch came out. And obviously the stare down. And I think this was part of Shayna's plan. She stared down Natty. And she knew all these women had one weakness. And that's when you get in their face, they're definitely going to do something about it. And I feel like that was the mentality she went in with. Becky came out and a brawl literally broke out. Liv went after Ruby. Sarah was kind of in between. And then we kind of just had Asuka and Natty go at it. And then we had Shayna and Becky go at it. Very, very interesting. Any one of these women can literally walk out of the chamber.
So it's gonna be interesting to see how the Elimination Chamber match plays out. Let us know who your favorite one is down below in the comments.
And we'll do the predictions a little closer to the Elimination Chamber. Alright, let's move on to Seth versus Montez Ford.
Keep in mind, the Street Profits are not used to having singles competitions as much. They're, like, as we know, a tag team, but I really like the Street Profits in general. I think they are the tag team you guys have to keep an eye in this 2020. I think a lot of big things are going to come for them, and they're going to be the team that everybody has to watch out for.
Yes. I feel like people really didn't take him seriously in the beginning, but I feel like once they got into the ring, everybody started taking them seriously for who they were, and they've pretty much shown they're one of the greatest tag teams and that they will be one of the greatest tag teams. They can hang with some of the top stars, and they really have solidified themselves as an actual tag team. Before that, though, we got Murphy and Dawkins. Very interesting match as well, super, super short. But at the end of the day, they all have each other's back.
Dawkins very, very impressive, dominating Murphy from the get-go. And I thought that was very, very impressive because to dominate a guy like Buddy Murphy is hard. Why? Because of his speed, his quickness, and his ring awareness as well. And if it wasn't for Seth Rollins interfering in the match, I think Dawkins would have got the clean win over Buddy Murphy.
And Ford knows exactly how to get inside the skin of Seth Rollins, and that is exactly what he did throughout this entire match. He took him to his limit, and at some point, I felt like Seth Rollins didn't know what to do. I feel like he didn't know how to put him away, and he was pulling out everything he had in order for him to get the win.
Yeah, and you could see at times from Montez Ford during the match that he was a little fatigued, but I think that has to do with not being a lot in singles competition, of always being keeping himself fresh by tagging his partner more.
Yeah, 100%. You can definitely see the experience from Seth, from him being a singles competitor to somebody like Ford, who obviously doesn't have a lot of singles matches, but at the end of the day, he was able to really give Seth a fight, and that's all that matters.
And I think Seth, playing with the experience of singles competition, he was pretty much waiting for the perfect opportunity. And what happened? He was able to capitalize. I'm not going to say on a mistake that Montez Ford did, but when he was jumping off the top rope to land on him, pretty much, that's when Seth Rollins decided to do the curb stomp on him in 1, 2, 3, and he was able to beat him. So that's where the experience on singles competitions played out.
Yes, and the experience overall of who Seth Rollins is. All right, let's move on to our main event, Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens, a match I was looking forward to because, let's be real, both these men are savages. They really don't care about each other's feelings or other people's feelings. Lately, Kevin Owens has been a face and he's been doing a great job at it, but you also have to keep in mind he doesn't forget where he comes from. And he knows exactly how to inflict punishment. And he went into this match very, very angry. He was upset, and you can tell there was a new type of motivation inside Kevin Owens.
Yeah, but not only that, Randy Orton wanted to get his hands on Kevin Owens after he was really interrupted by him at the beginning of Raw. So he finally does, and you could tell he's just super aggressive, super focused, and he wanted to hurt him from the get-go.
Kevin Owens starts off dominating this match, and the turning point was when Seth Rollins and the Disciples pretty much came out and they distracted Kevin Owens, and that's exactly when Randy Orton, again, the experience, he was able to capitalize, he was able to finally start digesting Kevin Owens.
And another thing too is that I don't know if you guys noticed, but the ref did a quick three count on that match on favor of Randy Orton. Everybody was like, what happened? And it turns out that what? The ref was part of the Disciples. He is one of the followers of the Messiah.
And it's Yes. just a poor ref. He's a human being. What are you doing, Kevin Owens? Because he ends up stunnering him and then he puts him through a table. I feel like Seth at that point was just like, well, at least it wasn't me. But I get it. Kevin Owens did lose it, but I understand why. It got to a point where Seth literally gave a couple of chairs to Randy Orton. He gave them two, in fact, so that he can do what he's been doing to Matt Hardy and what he did to Edge. At this point, I feel like Seth Rollins saw it as the only way out to get rid of Kevin Owens. I think he's gone into this feud long enough, and he's just like, you know what? I can't get rid of Kevin Owens. How am I going to do this? And he thought Randy Orton could potentially do the job.
And that's why Seth Rollins is the leader of the AOP and Buddy Murphy, because why? Of his intelligence. And he was able to, he was trying to capitalize on that opportunity and be like, wait, if Kevin Owens faces Randy Orton, Randy Orton could take him out just like he did to the rest, like Edge and Jeff Hardy. So he was on it. He's like, you know what? I'm going to capitalize on this. And he was able to get the ref on the same page. And Randy Orton was like, okay, I see what you're trying to do.
Matt Hardy, not Jeff Hardy.
Oh, sorry, Matt Hardy.
And I feel like that was Seth's only way out. As I said before, he's tried to take out Kevin Owens countless of times. And he's failed. He hasn't been able to do it. And no one better to do that than Randy Orton. But unfortunately, Randy wasn't able to get the job done. Because Kevin Owens had somebody like the Street Profits and the Viking Raiders there to help him out. And I think Kevin Owens has really built his team a lot stronger than what Seth and his disciples have.
Yeah, he has made some great friendships all around, and he has surrounded himself with a great team, like you said.
All right, is there anything else you'd like to add?
No.
All right, that's all we have for you guys on this episode of Wrestling with Siblings. Remember to like, comment, share, and subscribe. Become a part of the siblings today. And for those of you that do not know what WWS stands for, Armando, what does WWS stand for?
Wrestling with Siblings. Thank you guys so much. See you guys next time.